Tim Watson, welcome to you on the day after a very, very big day.
Good morning, Gary Lyon. Good morning, everybody. This morning, I hope that you're all okay and safe. Did the wind blow last night? Goodness me. I thought the roof was going to come off our house last night.
Windy. Well, wherever you are, let's do hope that you are in, inside, first and foremost. You wouldn't want to be out in this weather, and you're safe and well. You're down your way, apparently. Just arcs are being built everywhere.
Yeah, but the rain didn't, I don't know whether it came overnight or not, but it didn't arrive yesterday during the day. But I saw Jane on the news last night. She was saying that there was going to be between like 100 and 200 mil of rain there last night and today.
Down in Gippsland
where we are. That's a lot of rain. That is a hell of a lot of rain. But anyway, let us know how you're going this morning, whether or not everything's intact for you, whether or not you had some trees blow over in the backyard or whatever. What sort of a night it was for everybody out there, because it was one of the wild, wild, windy nights that we've seen in recent times.
Let us be the conduit. Also, Duna's saying that there's lots of debris on the road, so if there are issues out there from a traffic point of view, then we love to communicate them and let people know if there's going to be a bit of a hold-up sometime this morning. This is the ramble normally, Wispy, but this is probably one day where we can ramble, but we might have to ramble about the issue of the day, and that is, of course, Nathan Buckley and the Collingwood Footy Club as of next Monday at probably around 6 o'clock will no longer be tied at the hip, which they have been for the best part of almost 30 years.
Extraordinary. 27 years he'd been at the club, I think I heard him say yesterday. The Herald Sun, Gary, just to further emphasise how big this story was yesterday to them, they've devoted 18 full pages of their paper today to the coverage of the departure of Nathan Buckley and the history of Nathan Buckley. 18 pages.
What?
I've just counted them. 18 pages, including some really, really nice articles about Nathan and historically what he's meant to the Collingwood Football Club. Mick Boldhouse has written an article. Obviously, there's a lot of editorialising. There's a lot of pictures in there as well. Were you surprised? Were you shocked when you heard the news yesterday?
Yeah, 100%. I didn't see that coming at all. I know that there's some revisionist work being done at the moment suggesting that, the writing was on the wall. He was on AFL 360 Monday night. And, you then go back and forensically look at some of the stuff he said. But, no, I got a big shock, like I think everyone did in the footy world. So, first and foremost, congratulations, I would say. Congratulations. To handle himself and last as long as he has in this cutthroat industry is an unbelievable performance, and hasn't exactly got out on his terms. I don't think there's any doubt that the club have said probably time for us all to part, and that's okay. That's what happens, but he's his own man. He was fantastic. I watched the press conference yesterday. Spoke brilliantly, as he always does, and whatever he chooses to do in the future, he'll make a great fist of it.
As a coach, how do you think you'll remember him?
As a very good coach, and ultimately not a great one. And that's really harsh because that's the judgment based on a premiership or not. Very, very good, though. I mean, I do subscribe to that to some degree, but he did everything. But he rejigged that group. I mean, coaching the Collingwood Footy Clubs would be one of the toughest sporting jobs going around because of the scrutiny. He handled himself. I love the way he handles himself as much as anything else. And I think towards the end, I don't think he coached particularly well over the past, certainly not through this year, but that may be through circumstances that we're not aware of and may come out in time. But that's okay. 10 years, God help me. Hat off.
That's a long time. It's a long, long time.
Took over in difficult circumstances too.
Well, you say difficult circumstances. The handover didn't go that smoothly.
Well, not
is that what you meant?
Yeah,
had a good team to take over, didn't go that smoothly.
100%. He took over a very good list, but to have a figure such as Mick Malthouse stay on and be put in place as the director of coaching, that would have been a challenge. That didn't work out. We know that for whatever reason.
But he's a great bloke. He's a great bloke. You and I both know him.
He's a ripper.
At times we've criticised the way that his team plays and the way that he's wanted them to play, but that hasn't been a personal criticism of him, even though when you are in that position, you do take it personally. But he has been probably one of the best media performers, I think, in terms of being able to sit down there and articulate and talk about sometimes really complex and difficult topics. The only time I thought that he was left wanting in this whole time that he was coaching was in this last off-season with that drama and the debacle around their salary cap and having to let go of players that type of thing. That was the only time I've ever thought, gee, you're not as impressive as you've normally been, and under those circumstances. And you look at that now and the fallout from that period of time, right? Jeff Walsh, Ned Guy, Eddie Maguire and Nathan Buckley. They've all gone in this last 6 to 8 months after all that occurred. And it can't just be a coincidence. It can't just be a coincidence.
No. And maybe in the fullness of time we'll find out some more detail around that, as to why it was so difficult for him and for Ned Guy to get up in front of the media and try and sell something that you just couldn't sell. And if they had their time again, maybe they'd do it a little differently. But apart from that, you're right, he's handled himself impeccably. So, and there's always, I mean, he was a polarising figure as a player because A, he was at Collingwood, and B, he was so good, and C, he was so single-minded in his pursuit of excellence that, and lying to Eddie, there was all that, you know, the footy show got great joy out of the relationship between the two of them. So that helped some people make their minds up about him when they wouldn't know anything about Nathan. He is an outstanding man, and he won't be lost. He's not going to be lost to anything. He'll do whatever he wants next year.
Yeah, well, already there's discussions going on about whether or not he'll be at Channel 7 or whether or not he'll be at AW or wherever he may end up. I'm sure he'll get some offers from the media. Maybe it's not a great time. I thought that he might, you know, travel or whatever, but he's got two boys there at school. You can't travel much anyway if he wanted to go overseas because he's got a great curiosity about him. He's one of those people that likes to learn and he likes to do things. This is the other separation. You know, like footy fans, and I think we too, because we talk about coaches, about their coaching and that type of thing, we often don't pause to think that they're just human beings, and sometimes they're just not just, but they're fathers too. You know, they're going through all the same things that you and I as fathers have gone through, and, you know, the emotion that's associated with that, with whatever our children might be doing. He's gone through a relationship breakdown as well while he's coaching. He was in the hub last year. Like, all those things weigh heavily on somebody personally too. And, you know, the emotional toll is significant on people, considering they've got this high-pressure job over here where they're being scrutinised by the general public and trying to coach a football team to win, and then they're still dealing with all the other things that the rest of us deal with as well.
Yeah, all that would be you know that better than me. Obviously, you've done it, and I don't think, unless you sat in that seat as the seat of an AFL coach, would you have a great appreciation and understanding of what you're talking about. And there will be people out there, and they would go, "Oh, turn it up. You're getting paid huge money. You know, you're coaching a footy team, a sports team. How can it be that hard?" Well, I know, having spoken to you and others, that it obviously is. And there's not a second of respite. There's just
nothing.
I think that would be the thing. And that, and not even insert myself into it, but on the times where I thought about going down that path, it was that I can't imagine. You become so obsessive with what you're doing, and you never be able to leave the job, and that part of it always scared the shizen out of me. Absolutely, I'd go nuts, I think.
One day, I went to a press conference when I was working at Channel 7 and doing sort of going out on the job and doing stories and stuff like that. And we went to Victoria Park, and Tony Shaw was the coach of Collingwood. And I remember him looking at me, and he was under the pump. This was before he may have even announced the fact that his end as the, or reign as the Collingwood coach was coming to an end. Yep. And he looked at me, and I've known Tony well over the years, and he said, "Mate, don't ever do this."
I know.
And that's before I went coaching. And I only recalled that when I went coaching myself, and I really understood what it was that he was saying.
Do you know what? There's like Chris Scott says that now. He said, "Oh, if I had to give advice to my brother, Brad, about whether to do it, I'd say no, don't do it." So there's some cautionary tales. You tell me this, and this is what I'll be, as a player, I can relate only as a player. The day I announced that I was retiring as a player on the, it was a Wednesday or Tuesday night, middle of the year, made a decision. Neil Denhead came around, we made a decision. The weight and relief that was lifted off your shoulders was tangible. Like your life changed in that second, because every sort of second of your, every year, every day of your year was mapped out around your football routine.
Right.
Which is, so for you, from a coaching point of view, when you made that decision, what sort of feeling did you get on the basis of what we've been talking about in terms of the can't leave the job and the relentless pressure and scrutiny and everything else?
Well, it is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And
that's what I mean.
When you think about, you know, like as a parent, say we've got four children, and you think about your own children and you think about what they're doing and, you know, parenting, that type of thing. And then you extend that into, okay, now I've got another, say, 45 young men whose livelihoods and lives and aspirations I'm responsible for as well, and relationship building as well. And then there's the staff, and then there's all the other people associated with you. It's not hard to be overwhelmed by that position.
No.
And I was. No. I was completely overwhelmed. I didn't have the experience to be able to do it. But Nathan, you know, even he had the experience. He had sort of like a really good lead up to it, a couple of years as an assistant, knew what he was getting into, loved the idea of getting involved, and he gave it, as you would expect him to do, he left no stone unturned in his pursuit of excellence. And he's hard on himself. He was hard on himself as a football player, and he would have been exactly the same as a coach. But I reckon over that period of time, he changed as well. I think he really understood. I don't know that he really completely and utterly understood what the role was all about in terms of the man management, the microscopic man management, that the detail of building relationships was all about. But I reckon he really got that after the first couple of years as a coach.
Yeah, and yeah, he looked to evolve in the role. He looked to develop an empathy for the group and a softer side and the more
the vulnerabilities that are associated with it as well.
Delegate more. Don't be, you know, you don't have to have your fingerprints all over it. So, to that end, if he ever wanted to coach again, what he'd be perfect. He was, has had 10 fantastic years. Work out what works for him and what doesn't, and he'd be an outstanding candidate. Now, whether he does or not remains to be seen. Hey, we'll keep talking. It doesn't matter how, like, all the criticism of the way the Bucks, the sides played, and all, it's gone.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
Wipe the slate, and we remember the good, and that's probably a good thing. But we'll talk more about it. We're going to talk about Dawn Morning. It's a different morning. It is, it's Collingwood, always drives plenty of traffic, but it's Nathan Buckley, I think, and the storylines around him. There's other stuff going on. What are you laughing at?
Yeah, no, just some text coming through, but I'm not even going to be bothered reading them out this morning.
Okay. Paul Tudnan. Paul Tudnan will be an interesting chat. He's an influential voice amongst the Collingwood Pass players, and it's been linked to the Jeff Brown ticket. So we'll get his take, and we'll talk. Mm. Yeah, we'll do what every news organisation, media organisation's doing. We'll talk about the successor and who's going to get thrown. I've got an interesting take on that. We'll have a chat. We're already 17 minutes in. We haven't even rambled. We're here for Kogan Credit Cards. No annual fees. Amazing rewards. Geordie Lewis going to join us as well. Georgie Samios, BP. We'll be back with more after this.
Kogan Credit Cards. No annual fees, amazing rewards, and complimentary Kogan First membership.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
We're here for Kogan Credit Cards. No annual fees, amazing rewards, and the Cooler of the Year, of course. Always. Lines are open whenever you want to have a chat. 1-300-736-736. We'll fit you in whenever we can. The Toyota Hilux Rugged X could be yours. Paul Tudnam, Jordan Lewis, George Samios, Brett Phillips. The Wisp is here as well. State of Origin last night, Wispy.
Wow-wee. New South Wales were unbelievable. But I just wanted to play this. I don't know that you saw this or not, but this was pre-game. It was just a magnificent bit of oratory from Gus Gould. Have a listen to this.
I want to talk about bravery. In these final moments in the dressing room, these players are at their most nervous. Now, especially for the rookie players, they may have watched Origin on TV, but it's about to hit them in the face. And there's no doubt that they'll start to have insecurities. Do I deserve to be here? What will it really be like? Will I be good enough? It's fear of the unknown that starts to grab them.
He was good. He was really good. He was fantastic, Gus Gould, last night.
He's been doing that.
He just looked down the barrel. Yeah. Does he have a little auto cue going there, or does he just do it off the top of his head?
He's been doing that for a while.
I hadn't seen it.
Does the walk and talk.
No, this was good. This was really powerful. powerful stuff. But once the game started, Trbojevic was just unbelievable. They just looked like they were a class above Queensland, and it silenced the Townsville crowd very quickly last night.
I wouldn't have liked to go back to Tent City last night after that whacking.
Be very flat Tent City last night. Getting a lot of feedback from people about the weather overnight too. A lot of people will be experiencing no power in Kilmore since about 11 o'clock last night. Thought the house, the roof was going to blow off. Yeah.
Still going, Tim. Carnage in Cockatoo. Power out in Ringwood since 1 o'clock. Wild night in Bendigo. Full garage bins lined in the middle of the road all over town to the wind. Hayfield near you, Wispy. Hadn't stopped pelting down all night. Very heavy rain. That's from Tano. So, yep, we've got some weather. There's no question. We're fascinated with weather. Like everyone.
Are you going to say something before we went to the break about Nathan Buckley and about an idea that you had as to who might be the successor for Nathan Buckley?
No. I've reading the papers this morning.
Oh, right, okay.
All the normal suspects are put up and then, you know, the different philosophies. Has to be a senior, has to be, you know, experienced, has to be a senior coach. Which you hear a fair bit these days, don't you? I mean, that's fair enough too. But if that was the attitude, you'd never get Alistair Clarkson.
No, that's right. And then Nathan Buckley on the way out, then he couldn't have been more complimentary of Robert Harvey either. And nobody considers Robert Harvey as being possibly the genuine successor to Nathan Buckley at Collingwood.
Well, he gets 10 weeks to put his best foot forward. I wonder whether the fact that he's in, you know, will be lumped in with the old regime. Mm. You know, what they say, there was an appetite for change. I wonder whether that would preclude those that have already been there. I guess Rob gets a great chance to do an on-the-spot interview.
We're having a serious ramble this morning because that was big news yesterday. You've been in that position where you've chosen a coach. And now you've had a lot more experience and you see the game differently, though. No, but the number one thing, that person that steps in, you're sitting there, you're on a panel of four, that person that steps in about to be interviewed, what is the number one thing that you would want to see from that person?
Well, you've got to have a presence. You've got to be able to lead men. So, I did unsuccessfully with Mark Neild. If I did it again, which I never would, by the way, I'd be so much better at it because you'd look at different things and it's interesting, you know, that there's the coaching structure and the way it's presented can change, and I don't know whether anyone's done this yet or been brave enough to do it, and one day they will. There will be a coach of the men, if you like, coach of the players, win the players, and then the rest will be left to the understudy who are into the absolute intimate intricacies of the tactics and the, you know, the dissection of game trends and styles and all that, whereas the guy at the head will be more about winning over his group and making sure that, you know, all those sort of intangible things are in place.
It's people get this wrong all over the world. Like everyone thinks, oh, it's easy to pick a coach. It's extremely hard to pick a coach, to pick the right coach. Extraordinarily hard to get the right coach. And particularly if you're going for an untried coach too. If there are no records on the board anywhere.
You could go through recent times, you know, where you go. Reece Shaw was, you know, the North Melbourne people who were in behind him. Oh, he was going to be... For whatever reason, it doesn't work. And then it's not only the ones that pick it. The ones who then turned around and said, this bloke can't coach. I always go back to the Hawthorn situation. Those that were against the appointment of Alistair Clarkson, they don't get mentioned in the whole coaching fraternity. But anyway, whoever gets the point, that coach is kind of got a big job.
I always think I follow a lot of American sport, as you do too. Can you remember Josh McDaniel?
Yeah.
And so he was the understudy to Bill Belichick at the New England Patriots, right? Everybody wanted a piece of this kid. He was like the wonder kid over there in the States, right? He gets his first job, goes to the Denver Broncos. He's out of there within 12 months.
Yeah.
He just couldn't handle the veteran players on the list. So he knew more about the game than anybody probably at his age has ever known about the game. All the strategies, all the tactics. But he just didn't know how to handle the locker room.
This is, and please, take this the right way. Justin Lepich has become the hottest prospect. And you know how much we love Justin. as
I love listening to it. Yeah.
He's the hottest coaching prospect on the back of SEN.
Mm.
Because he presents well on SEN. So second time round, like Nathan, he would be so much a better coach. And he may end up being a fantastic proposition, but it's more than presenting on a radio station, which would make a good coach. So many other elements to that. Mm. And again, we love him. I love talking to him. I love how he does it. But the layers of coaching are much more than just understanding the nuances.
That's right. And sometimes those layers of coaching, or often those layers of coaching, are revealed with experience and somebody being in and around the game for a long, long time and having experienced or seen the game from all different sides. You know, you cannot be an understudy in this game for too long before you take on the coaching role. And Chris Fagan has proven that too.
Relationship building, Tim. The relationship building element is the thing that is hard to get out of in an interview. So we hear, everyone would listen to Justin Lepich and go, God damn, that man knows what he's talking about, understands footy, you know, can see it on the run. The next part of it is the relationship building. Mm. Now, he may be the best, or he may have got much better at it, which would then make him a fantastic proposition. That's the stuff we wouldn't know just from listening on a radio program.